Come on in and grab a seat. Thank the Lord for that. Hey, good morning. Stephanie and Debbie, would you guys be willing to close the doors? Closing the doors. We'll see if anybody stands out there and knocks at the door. For those of you that came to the first service, you know what that's an allusion to. All right, let me begin our time in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. It is a beautiful day because you created it. You are watering the earth even as we are here together. We're reminded of how much you care for your creation. We're reminded of how much you care for us as your people. We're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for all that you've done for us. And we pray, Father, that as we begin a new season of Sunday school and learning in our church, that you would use it all for your glory, that you would build us up as your people and help us to grow in our love for you, our knowledge of you, our love and our knowledge for our neighbors, and our ability to love you and to serve you in all of the ways that you call us to do that. Bless our time together that we pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to do just a few kind of beginning things before we send out all the young people in the church back to their classes. Usually try to take the first class in the fall and many times the last class in the spring and just remind us a little bit about what we're doing with our Christian education program. And so to do that today, I actually want to read you a passage from the Gospel of Luke. It's from Luke chapter 24. And I'm actually going to read the first part of it, which is a recount of Jesus' resurrection. And then there's a very interesting thing that happens after Jesus' resurrection as he interacts with some of his disciples. And that's the part in particular I want us to think about just for a moment this morning. So listen as I read to you from Luke chapter 24. We read that on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. That very day, two of them, we're not told who they are, be very interesting to know who that was, but two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Can you imagine? Jesus kind of moseyed up to them, and now they're walking down this road, and now Jesus is just kind of there with them, walking with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is the conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see." And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And then here's the verse that I want us to reflect on this morning. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Isn't that wonderful and powerful? Jesus took the scriptures and he opened their eyes, and he opened the scriptures to show them not how just one particular passage was about him, but how the entirety of the scriptures was about Jesus. That, in a nutshell, is what we try to do with our Christian education program. From the youngest of the youngest all the way up through the oldest, the whole thing of what we're trying to do is to look into the scriptures and to see Jesus, to understand who he is, what he has accomplished, and what he calls us to be and to do as his people. That's what we're doing. That's what we're starting again this fall. That's what these wonderful teachers are tasked and motivated to go do with the young people in the classes. It's what we will be focusing on as we do that here in the sanctuary with the adults. We have a book that in a lot of ways kind of explains what I just said and what Jesus did in terms of unfolding the scriptures. It's a book called Show Them Jesus by a guy named Jack Klumpenhauer. And if you've been around Trinity very long, you know that this is a book that we point to a lot of how we're doing what we're doing, why we're doing what we're doing. If you're new to our church, if you're new to Trinity, we usually try to keep a good steady supply of these on the book wall. I would pick one up and just read through it. It's easy to read. It's fun to read. But it gives you a snapshot of what we're trying to accomplish with our Christian education program, with our adult education program, and even with what we're doing on Sunday mornings from the pulpit and here in the sanctuary as we worship together. So that's just a quick reminder of what we're doing. I have the responsibility of releasing the young people to their various classes now. And so we are going to start with the wee little ones and make our way up to the ones that are not as wee and little. So first of all, the ages 2 and 3 are going to go with Mrs. Compton. If there are still some 2s and 3s here in the room, they can meet Mrs. Compton in the back of the room. And then I'm also going to release the preschoolers, and they're going to go back with Joel and Holly Gregory. So if you are in preschool, you can head back to the back of the room and head back to your classroom. And then we'll have the kindergartners follow them out. They're going to be following their teacher, Mrs. Hake, and the helpers, Jonathan Nyman and Karen Carlson. How about the first and second graders? Mrs. Roddy is waiting in the back for you. You can head on out. Now, third and fourth graders will meet Mrs. AC in the back. Fifth graders can meet Mrs. Philbrick. And the sixth graders can go out as well. They're going to be with Mrs. Larson. And last but not least, the high schoolers and the middle schoolers are going to go back with Mr. McLemore, Mr. Brobst, diving into the book of Galatians. And now the senior citizens are going to leave and they're going to go, no. Very good. Well, we've got just a little bit of time left in our Sunday school time period this morning, about half an hour or so. I wanted to give you a little bit of an update on what we're going to be doing in our adult class, what we're going to be covering, and how we're going to do that, and just see if there are any questions about that, and then may let you go a little early today, depending on how many questions people have. So, those of you that have been around Trinity a while, I think maybe will remember that shortly after I got here, I put together a little plan or an overview of what we were trying to do with our adult Sunday school class, and basically came up with five areas that we try to cover over the course of a period of time. This is not a college town per se, but it has a feel of being a college town because of Mayo being here and the steady flow of med students and residents and fellows and people that are coming and training and then going off. And that just kind of got in my mind as I was coming here and thinking about that and just thinking about what if somebody came to Trinity for 3 years or for 4 years or for 5 years, but then they were heading out. The Lord was taking them out to go do more training somewhere else, or if they get employed somewhere else. And so I started thinking about what are the things that we want to be able to give to people so that they are leaving Trinity filled up and growing in their knowledge and love for the Lord. And so I kind of broke it down into five different categories. And so here are the five categories. One is the Bible. So very basically studying Scripture. Sometimes we do that by going through a book of the Bible and just kind of walking through, kind of like what we do on Sunday morning with our worship and walking through a book of the Bible, but doing it more in kind of a Sunday school setting. Sometimes we're doing Bible in much more of a thematic or topical way, but a focus on Scripture itself. A second category I called theology, and I was thinking of that as kind of theology proper, so kind of theological categories. We might talk about the sovereignty of God, or we might talk about the various characteristics of God, various aspects of the theology of the Westminster Confession of Faith, those kinds of things. A third category is church history, which is a whole area that we want to be aware of and grow in our understanding of, to see how God's been at work throughout history in all kinds of different ways. A fourth area is what I called apologetics and outreach, but thinking like how are we equipped to be able to defend the faith and to express the faith to others who might want to know what's the hope that you have, and to be able to tell them that and be able to be equipped to be able to do that. And then the fifth category, call it practical or practical theology, thinking about how do we apply what we believe the Bible teaches, what we believe in our theology, how does that work itself into our day-to-day living? Now, ideally, there ought to be elements of each of those categories in whatever class we're teaching, but those are kind of the overarching five categories that we, over a period of time, try to hit in various ways. So as I was looking at what we've been doing in our adult education program over the last 5 years or so, so. As I was having some conversations with some other folks in the congregation, I came across this book that's fairly new by Michael Horton called Core Christianity. And as I was looking at this more and more, I was realizing in some ways this hits at least four, if not all five, of the categories that we try to cover. And just thought it might be a really good thing for us to go through as an adult Sunday school class. So I've been looking at that a little bit. And on top of that, we have some folks that are in our community that come to Trinity, a part of our church family, who are ministering in the community. And they're actually using this book as a ministry tool in the ministry context and where they are. And just thought it might be a good opportunity to kind of work through that as well. So because of that, we're going to spend between now and the end of the year working our way through this class. And there is a book that goes with it, obviously, Core Christianity. And I've ordered a bunch of these. I don't think they're in yet, but starting probably next Sunday, we'll have a steady supply of these on the book wall if you want to pick them up. But this is more than just a book. It's really a class. It's designed to be a class that people go through together. There's a study guide for leaders, for small groups, for different kinds of venues. Although we'll use the book to some degree, it's really going to be kind of more than the book itself. The study of Core Christianity is really designed to address several different things. One is, just what the title is, Core Christianity, understanding what the core message and the core story of Christianity is. The story of creation, the story of the fall, the story of redemption, and the story of the consummation, the reconciliation of all things as Jesus comes again to usher in the new heavens and the new earth. If you look at the statistics out there about basic knowledge of the gospel, let alone just the Bible, within the church, you will be greatly distressed. I don't know how much you feel that way in terms of feel like you know the Bible and feel like you know the story arc line of Scripture really well, but the statistics of even within evangelical Christianity is very, very low in terms of what people actually know, what people have actually internalized. So just from that standpoint, to kind of go over the basics of the faith, the basics of Christianity, that will help us to kind of dig deeper. If you feel like you've got a good handle on the Scriptures and a good handle on that overarching story, this will give you a chance to kind of dig deeper into that great story. So I think this class will be great for long-time, very committed believers, but I also think the class will be helpful for people who are brand new Christians, people who are just learning about this wonderful story of Scripture, as well as for Christians who are really wrestling and struggling with their faith. Are these things really true? Are these things really, can I trust them? And also for unbelievers that might be wanting to learn more about Christianity. And by the way, we have people that represent all of those categories I just mentioned at Trinity almost every Sunday. So the hope is that this will actually hit a broad range of needs within our church family for those that come and are part of the adult Sunday school time period. So Horton really kind of addresses what he calls the four D's in this book. The first one is the study is designed to engage the drama of Scripture. So again, the story, the overarching story, the creation, fall, redemption, consummation storyline. The second D that it tries to cover is the doctrine of the historic Christian faith. I think many of us either ourselves feel this way or know others that feel like doctrine is kind of a a negative or even like a dirty word. And what Horton, if you know Horton at all, you know it's far from that for him. And he actually greatly enjoys helping Christians to understand that doctrine is just simply what we believe the Bible's teaching. And so understanding that and knowing that and loving doctrine is actually a really good thing for us to do. So engaging the drama of Scripture, teaching the doctrine of historic Christianity. And Horton's argument in this book is going to be that if you understand the drama of Scripture, and if you understand the historic Christian doctrine, it ought to move you to the third D, doxology. What's doxology? It's a big Christian term, but what does that mean?
Praise,
right? Worship. In other words, what we believe the Bible teaches and what we believe in terms of the story, but also the theology that's wrapped up in that story, it's not just for us to be kind of puffed up here. It's not just so that we can go out and beat people over the head with it. It's not just so that we can show other people within the church or other people outside of the church that we're so smart, right? The purpose ultimately ought to be to drive us to worship, to praise God. And in fact, if it's not doing that, then we probably haven't understood the story very well. We don't understand our theology very well. So understanding the drama of the story of Scripture, the doctrine of the historic Christian faith, moving us to doxology, and then the fourth D that he tries to cover in this book is that it would enable us to have healthy discipleship so that we ought to be growing as God's people for the rest of our lives. You've never arrived. You can never say, I've got it all down. I don't care if you memorize the Westminster Confession of Faith. I don't care if you can quote every single larger catechism question and answer. I don't care if you've memorized, 500 Bible verses. You still haven't arrived. There's more for you to know. There's more for you to understand. And in some ways, and that's the beauty of heaven, right, is that for all eternity, we get to spend plumbing the depths of the knowledge of God and the wonders of His redeeming love for His people in the cross. So I'm hoping that we're going to cover those four D's and that kind of go through this class to hit on those four things. But I'm just going to tell you that I have another reason as well. I have another ulterior reason for why I want us to do this class. I want to go through this together so that you can see how you could go through it with people in your neighborhood or your family members or friends or coworkers. It could fit a lot of different contexts, much like some of our own church family are using it in some ministries here in town. It's something that's very easy to use in a group of people that have either no knowledge of the Bible or very, very little knowledge, or people who are unchurched, like have never been to church or have been to church and been burned by the church, or people who have grown up in the church. There's a way that this can be used to help spur people on to greater love and faith in the Lord. And so I want us to go through it for our own benefit, but I'm just telling you, my ulterior motive is I want you to see how it could actually be used in your own contexts, how you could use it in all kinds of different places. And we'll be thinking about that as we go through the class a little bit. So let me stop and let's see if you have any questions about this in particular, or just even kind of the big picture that I painted with regard to adult education and what we try to cover. Is the coffee not flowing this morning?
No.
What's that?
No coffee
this morning, I can tell.
Will these be recorded and available for Sunday?
Yeah, the question was whether we'll record them and make them available. That's our normal plan, is to record the adult education classes, and then they go up on the website. There's always the possibility that, one or two may not get recorded, but the hope and the plan is to get them recorded and then get them up there. Our sound people and our office folks do a great job of, in fact, I don't know if you noticed, but the sermons are getting up usually on Sundays or Mondays at the latest, usually. And so Sunday school will probably be up pretty quickly each week. That is, unless I feel really bad about it and tell them not to post it, which is always my prerogative. Oops, we didn't record that Sunday. No, but yeah, my hope is that we will have them available in case people miss. The books will be available if you want to pick up one of the books and kind of use it to go through as well. You literally could just Google Core Christianity Michael Horton, and you'll find they have a whole website for the whole class. And on that website, there's a leader's guide, there's a student guide that you can download and that kind of thing as well if you want to kind of dig in deeper. We'll talk about that more as we get into the class, again, as a resource for you to be able to make use of in your own context. It might be helpful to have some of those additional, you know, leader's guide or the student guide. Yeah, good question. Good, other questions? Yes, sir. Are you offering? I know a little about what's going on in the Daxons' lives right now. I'm guessing you guys aren't volunteering to... you're kind of at max right now in terms of... Yeah, Ben was just asking whether... if I'm going to be the only one teaching, or if there are going to be some others as well. I'm going to do most of it, but I am hoping to maybe get a person or two up in front as well to lead some of these lessons. Particularly some of the people that are already doing it. We've got some folks that have done this 10, 20 times in the community. And so in some ways, you know, I'm not the best person to be doing this. It'd be maybe them helping us. So we'll see how that develops and how much I can twist their arms to be involved. But I am planning on doing most of it. And for a number of reasons, this is going to be the only adult class right now for the fall. The hope and the plan and the usual practice is to have a couple classes that are going, because we've got this room, we've got the other adult Sunday school room in the back that we're not using right now. So hopefully early 2020 we'll get a couple adult classes that are going. But for right now, this will be the only one. Yeah, good. Good. Other questions? Ian?
Just a comment. I mean, I don't know the book yet.
Yep.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to go through a book like this, the Easy Chair. And I just want to share an example of why maybe I'm grateful. I'm very grateful for that, for everything, for our family, for friends, for things like this, but just in the community. I had an experience not too long ago. I have a t-shirt that I sometimes wear on weekends. And it says, spoiler alert, the tomb is empty. Luke 24:6. Had this t-shirt on, wasn't really thinking about it. Had to pick up some groceries. And so I'm in the line at the grocery store, and a young man who's checking me through says, spoiler alert, what are you talking about? I said, it's from the Bible. I said, wouldn't it be great if the Bible was like translated into English? So that's kind of where some people are coming from.
Yep.
And so to have, a little bit more, and I confess, I feel like I sort of fell down. I wasn't ready to, this was not a response I had expected.
Right.
And so I think hitting to be more prepared.
Yeah. Great. I appreciate you sharing that example. That's a great example. And I think we probably all have examples of kind of things that happen weekly, regularly in our lives that show us just how much of a detachment there is from people living in the United States in 2019, whether they're born here or they're here for other reasons. It's not saying too strongly, there's an ignorance about the Bible. What it says. I mean, I'm not even talking about like the true understanding of the gospel. Like, I would say there's a definite ignorance about what the gospel is, even within the church, even within evangelical churches to some degree. But we're just talking knowing that it's actually available in English, right? Let alone other languages, right? That is not unusual, atypical. And so it's a great story. It's a great reminder. So my hope is that the class will not only be helpful for us and maybe people like that would come and be a part. I mean, it'd be wonderful to have somebody that's here at Trinity thinking like, wow, they've got Bibles in English sitting in the pews here. It'd be fantastic to have somebody like that worshiping and a part of this class, but also so that you have a resource, a tool, to be able to take it out. Yeah, good. Thank you. Other questions or comments? All right, well, I'm going to let you go early then. It's about 10:35 or so. Let me close this, and then you guys can head on out and enjoy some fellowship together. Father, we thank you again for today. Thank you for this beginning to our new season in the life of our church with our education programs beginning. We truly want to glorify you through everything we do at this church, including teaching in our various classes. And so we pray you would be at work. Encourage the teachers, encourage the helpers, encourage all the young people. Thank you for their excitement and their desire to learn, and we pray that you would truly use this season to help us grow in our knowledge and understanding and love for you. I do pray that you would bless this class that we're going to have together in the adult class and use it, Father. Help us to grow ourselves in our understanding and knowledge of the Word, that we might be driven to praise and worship you in even greater ways. But also, Father, give us eyes to see ways that we might use this in the various life contexts that you have placed us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.